This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah who has blessed us with Islam. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu is related to have said, "Inna min na'im ad-dunya an yakfiyaka al-islamu ni'matan." From the blessings of this world, Islam suffices as a blessing. May Allah Ta'ala bless us to appreciate the magnitude of this blessing and to try to give adequate thanks or shukr for it. Alhamdulillah, the last khutbah we were discussing Surah Al-Asr, Wal-Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haq, wa tawasaw bil-sabr. And so we arrived at, so by the testimony of time or by the declining day, verily, humanity is lost, except those who believe and do righteous deeds, and they counsel each other with truth, and they counsel each other with patience. So we arrived at the consultation with truth, wa tawasaw bil haqq. They counsel each other with truth. The truth, the foundation of truth for us as Muslims, is revelation. Some people argue, specifically Mu'tazila or the rationalist, that the foundation for truth is the intellect, al-aql. But the intellect is a product of its experience. And our experience changes from one age to another, sometimes from one year to another. Our experience leads us to believe that something that we held to be untrue yesterday is true today. And something we held to be true today might be untrue tomorrow. So the intellect is not a stable foundation. What one society holds to be true and right for another society is repugnant. So, for example, what the Nazis under Hitler held to be true and right for virtually the rest of the world was repugnant and rejectionable. And the Nazis had their arguments, flawed arguments, of course. Don't anyone get me wrong. I'm just making a point how the intellect and what the intellect holds to be true or right varies from one society to another, from one people to another, within one society. Things vary. Look at how polarized our society is on certain issues. What does the left wing, generally speaking, hold to be true concerning the whole LGBTQI plus issue as compared to what the right wing holds to be true? What does the left wing in this country alone hold to be true concerning the issue of abortion compared to what the right wing holds to be true? And each has their rational arguments. This is why revelation is so important. And so the question becomes for the believer, what does our Lord, via his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does the Quran and the Sunnah hold to be true? And that's something that has sufficed us age after age after age, from the Malay archipelago to Andalusia, when the Muslims were present in Spain, or present day Morocco, or Mali, or Senegal, or the Western lands of Islam, including this land. When we say the West now, we have Muslims in California. That's the first significant Muslims, maybe upwards to 2 million Muslims in California. The furthest Qibla, once you go to Hawaii, you face West for the Qibla. In California, you face East or Northeast. In Hawaii, you face West or Northwest. And so now this is the furthest West. In any case, they counsel each other with truth based on the foundations of the religion. Based on the foundations of the religion, they counsel each other concerning their ibadah, concerning their worship, concerning their worldview, concerning their interpersonal relations, concerning their relations with other people, the mu'amalat. They counsel on the basis of truth, as revealed to us through revelation and as derived by our scholars based on principles that themselves are rooted in revelation. So very quickly, because this will be a separate khutbah. Not everything is mentioned in the Quran in terms of what we might encounter in modern life. So for example, cigarette smoking isn't mentioned in the Quran. And so the ulama before the 20th century, generally, but not all, the great Moroccan scholar, Jafar al-Kattani, said it's haram and wrote a whole book explaining why. But most of the scholars, they say cigarette smoking is makruh. But when the 20th century and modern medicine revealed that smoking leads to lung cancer and throat cancer and other disease, any mufti that's worth his turban said it's haram. And those who said otherwise, it was politics, says haram. Why? Because there's a principle in our religion, ad-dararu yuzal. Harm is to be removed, but this principle itself is rooted in revelation. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la darar wa la dirar. There's no harm nor reciprocating harm. So based on that hadith, we get a legal principle, a darar yuzal. Harm is to be removed. So when we know that cigarette smoking is harmful, then we want to remove that harm by declaring it to be haram. And so again, there are maybe 200 of these principles. In any case, they counsel with truth, wa tawasaw bis-sabr, and they counsel each other with patience. And patience is of three basic types. Patience in dealing with the difficulty that comes in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabr ala ta'a. Patience that comes in dealing with the difficulty in avoiding those things that are haram. As-sabru anil ma'asi. And patience in dealing with the calamities and tragedies that visit human beings or human societies from time to time, such as we see now unfolding in Afghanistan. As-sabru indal musibat. As-sabru ala ta'a. As-sabr an al-ma'asi, as-sabr inda al-musibat, being patient in the face of afflictions and understanding them from an Islamic framework, We shouldn't allow our minds to be secularized, where we look at things from a liberal or individualistic framework, from Islamic framework. As an as a individual, liberal perspective, we'll say, why all of this suffering? Why us? And then from this avenue, people become angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People come to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From an Islamic framework, one of the things we understand, help us to understand patience, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah loves the people, He casts them into tribulation. Well, how is that mercy from Allah? It's mercy because our living is not confined to this world. Being patient in the face of tribulation purifies us of sin. So we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we're pure. And we're amongst the servants who are patient in the face of calamity, patient in the face of tribulation, who persevered and conveyed their acts of worship, who dealt with the difficulty that came in avoiding those things that are haram. Then for 60 or 70 or 80 years in the world, that was their state, as they prepare for eternal life, al-hayatul abadiyya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. La ilaha illallah. And that this will be forgotten, the pain of labor that the sisters experience in birth is pain men we probably couldn't bear. If men had babies, we'd all have one. After that pain, say, I'm not doing this again. Sister has 5, 6, 10 babies. Why? Because once she sees that beautiful new life, all that pain's forgotten. Just like that, it's gone. When we enter into even our graves as believers, and our graves are perfumed, and they're made into a garden from the Garden of Jannah, and there's a window in our grave showing us our place in Jannah. And Allah sends the angels to accompany us. And they're pleased with our answers when we're asked, who is our Lord? Who is our prophet? What is our religion? All of that pain and suffering in the world will be forgotten. And when we meet our Lord, we not only will that have been forgotten, we'll experience bliss that we can't even begin to imagine in this world. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لِعِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا عُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Allah has prepared for His righteous servants that which no eye has ever beheld, that which no ear has ever listened to, that which no human heart has ever imagined. So we counsel each other with patience. We mentioned the two forms of patience. Patience in dealing with the difficulty in implementing the commandments of Allah, and patience in dealing with the difficulty involved in avoiding the forbidden things. The ulama say this is covered by haqq, because revelation guides our religious duties. We don't make up, I think I'll pray 4 rakats of fajr because I'm not at work and I have the time, and I'll pray 2 for dhuhr because I'm at work and it's hard to find time to pray. No, we pray what Allah says to pray. So the truth in that regard is governed by revelation. And so this is tawasaw bil haqq, al-ibadah. And then dealing with the difficulties and calamities, this is al-ubudiyah, affirming our servitude to Allah. That, ya Allah, I am your servant. You can burden me, you can test me in any way you please. You are the Lord and I am the servant. And so that's an affirmation of our servitude, our ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray that Allah Ta'ala blesses us to be dutiful servants, to be patient servants, to be servants who submit in the face of truth, as our religion defines or provides a foundation for it, to be servants who are pleased with our Lord, and He pleased with us. We said, "Nafsul mutma'inna irji ila rabbiki radiya," pleasing to Him, mardiya, pleased with Him. When may Allah bless us to be amongst those servants. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم لسائر المؤمنين يا قوم استغفروا الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We reference the ongoing crisis in Afghanistan. My nasiha, two. Again, this could be a separate cook. The first nasiha is not to become obsessed with how the Taliban are misrepresenting Islam. So that's not Islam. That's not Islam. They're saying they're Hanafis. The Hanafi madhab is the one that advocates for hijab as opposed to niqab. Where are they getting their ahkam from? This isn't Islam. That's not Islam. We could do that, but we can't control what they do. But we can control what we do. And so we should make sure that we're representing Islam in the best way possible. That we're representing Islam in the best way possible. And that we're not putting on others to do our job. As one of the poets said, "Laysa al-fata man qala kana abi, walakin al-fata man qala ha ana dha." A courageous young person isn't one who says, "My fathers did this and that." A courageous one person is one who stands up and says, "Here I am. Ha ana dha. Here I am. I'm not perfect. I make no claims to righteousness, but I will assume the responsibility to the best of my ability that Allah Ta'ala has put on me." The second advice is we should be very careful in accepting ideologically determined frameworks for understanding what's going on. And I'll give you one example, and this is nuanced. So we don't misread what I'm going to about to say. The Western ideology of liberalism and feminism says we must save the Afghan women. We have to save the Afghan women. How can we abandon the women of Afghanistan? And yes, the sisters, to the extent that we can contribute to relieving any oppression, that's our obligation. But our obligation is wider than that. Every single one of these people on the television screen, on NPR, on the radio, we have to save the Afghan women. When the Afghan women's doors were being kicked down by US special forces and dragged out of their homes in their nightclothes and shot in many instances, when the bombs were falling, killing thousands of Afghan women and thousands of Afghan girls, there was not a single one of them who raised their voice. Why? Because the men were always also being killed. So we want to abstract the women from their social context and then interpret their suffering through that lens. We have a wider human context, where we want to save the women, the girls, the boys, the men, everyone. Are more women or more men killed by the Taliban the first time around? Overwhelmingly more men. So our framework is من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Whoever kills an innocent human being, male or female, black or white, young or old, it's as if they've killed all of humanity. So what am I saying? Should we say no, that's bad? No, it's good. Whatever we can do to assist our sisters is good. But we shouldn't isolate our sister from their families and from their society. And that's our sole concern. When the suffering is widespread, our compassion should be widespread. And this is the Islamic approach. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us tayseer. Make things easy for us. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات.